In this year, I'd like to examine the sale of the birthright from Esav to Yaakov. And I want to ask a few basic questions. Number one is, what exactly did Yaakov purchase for himself? What was he purchasing when he's purchasing the birthright? Number two is, why didn't Yaakov disclose this purchase to Yitzchak such that he wouldn't have to trick Yitzchak into giving him the blessings? Third question we can ask on the sale is, does Esav have the right to sell the Bechor to Yaakov? Must Yitzchak provide consent to the sale? Number four, is this sale enforceable? It seems to be under duress. Esav was starving. He said, Hine anochi olech lamut v'lama zeli b'chora. So he sold it when it wasn't of sound mind. So is this enforceable? So first question I'd like to address is, what was the Bechora pre-Matan Torah? Because the Ramban writes, V'yitachen ki pi ha-shnayim ha-bechor mishpatei ha-Torah lo yakein lifanim, that the idea of a double inheritance did not exist at this time before Matan Torah. Rather, rak lincho malas avus svaroso, that the goal of the right of the firstborn was to be, it's a matter of honor to be the head of the family. He writes at the end that maybe he would get a little more property, but there was nothing about double portion. And the Abravanella adds that im haya kidin abachora livash pishtaim, if indeed there was an obligation to give double the amount to the Bechor, even pre-Matan Torah. He writes, lo nesta atzato, this plan was not fulfilled. There's no evidence at all to support the fact that Yaakov received a double portion. Hu barach mipnei achiv, v'nizkaresh b'beiso. He was forced to flee from his brother. He was driven out from his house. V'lo nizka she'erash, Binichsa Yitzchak, lochalak b'chor, lochalak b'chor, lochalak pashut. It's not clear at all that he, it's not recorded at all that he inherited from Yitzchak's property the portion of the b'chor or the basic portion. What then is this b'chorah that Yaakov is purchasing? So again, the Rabban says it's, I guess, a matter of honor, being the successor to his father. Perhaps the Rashi understands it as being the spiritual leader. He says, Lafisha avoda b'bechoros, that Yaakov wanted to buy the right to the firstborn because the avoda in the Mikdash, the temple service, was the right of the firstborn. He was a spiritual leader. Malbim writes that Yerusha Sa'aretz. He writes that Yaakov wanted the special spiritual benefits of inheriting Eretz Yisrael. So we have different options to try to understand what Yaakov wanted: to take the stead of his father, to be a spiritual leader, a Bechor during the Avoda, or Yerusha Sa'aretz, Eretz Yisrael. But the question is, why now? Why now does Yaakov attempt to purchase the rights of the firstborn? So Rashi explains to us. Rashi says, "Va'iglu hanarim v'hi esav kol zman shayukatanim lo yinikar ma'aseihem v'ein adam medaktik b'hem mativam." As long as they were young, they were little, their deeds, their different actions and behaviors were not recognizable as to the outside world, that what would they would become. However, Kevin Shinasu b'nei shlosh esrei shana zeh perash lebatei midrash zeh perash levodah zarah. But once they reached the age of 13, so Yaakov went to the Beis Medrash and Esav went to idolatry. In other words, Yaakov now understood the true nature of Esav once they reached the age of 13. Yaakov's suspicions were confirmed 2 years later when Avraham Avinu died, because Esav did not mourn the loss of Yaakov while everyone else in the world did. The Gemara Bava Basra Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph says that Osa Yom Shniftar Avraham Avinu Min HaOlam, that day that Avraham departed from the world, of Mekog Dole Umas Olam Bishura of Amru Oy Lo Olam Shavan Manhigo, they said, woe to the world that we lost our leader. Oy Lo the Sfina Shavan Kav Rinta, woe to a ship that's lost its captain. The whole world was mourning the loss of Avraham, but Esav did not. And Yaakov realized now that Esav was uninterested in Avram's spiritual legacy, which is given over to Yitzchak. Esav views death as the end, and therefore his approach is, let's enjoy today, forget about the future. I'm not interested in the land in the future or the avoda in the future. Today I'm interested in red. Today I'm interested in, and the red symbolizes blood, perhaps murder. Esav now is interested in red. The Aznaim Torah writes that when Esav says, Haliteni na min ha'adom ha'adom mazeh, he says that Esav now sees everything in red. Originally, he is called Edom, but, I'm sorry, he was called Edom. So the Torah says that he was bored. He was red. He was an Admoni. But the Torah here said, Alkei Karashma Edom. Why is he called Edom? Not because he was born very red. It's because he says, Haliteni na min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh. Because he loved the color red and what it represented. Yaakov Avinu thinks about the future. When he sees who Esav truly is, then he needs to act. He needs to confront the reality that the spiritual rights associated with the firstborn should not belong to Esav. And in fact, Rav Nevensol makes the comment that the Torah tells us, Vayivez Esav Esav Bechorah, Esav was of sound mind. The Bechorah was simply worthless to Esav. Yaakov realizes that, and that's why he purchases the rights of the firstborn now, at this point in time, when the children were 15. Now, did Yitzchak consent to this? Did he need to consent to this? You could argue that when Yitzchak bestows a bracha to Yaakov, then he realizes when Esav comes in and he was tricked, he said, Gam Baruch Yeh. And Rashi there says, Shelo Tomei Lei Shemir Yaakov Laviv Lo Natal Es HaBrachos L'chach Hiskim U'Barcho Bidato. So the Torah wants to say that when Yitzchak said Gam Baruch Yeh, that means that Yitzchak agreed that Yaakov should receive the blessings. So it seems that Yitzchak accepted that Yaakov received the blessing. Perhaps the blessings were enforced when Yaakov remained in Eretz Yisrael after Yitzchak's death, and Esav went to Seir. That's what the Shaddal writes. But it seems that Yitzchak, maybe he didn't need to consent, or he did consent when he blesses Yaakov years later and when he finds out that he was tricked, but he still says Gam Baruch Yeh. So when we analyze the story of the sale of the birthright, we can look at it as a valid transaction, and we can say even though Esav was tired, he was of sound mind when he sold the rights of the firstborn. And Yaakov realized that Esav was not interested in it because it was something about the future, whether it was the avoda or inheritance of the land. And then maybe Yitzchak, or maybe he didn't need to consent. So one way, again, you can look at this whole story is that it was a valid transaction. But the truth is, there's another way to look at the story. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabba writes, Tana Bar Kapara, Lefi Shehayu Kim Misachakim. They were like playing around. God played around with them as well. He gave the right to the firstborn to Yaakov. according to the Medrash, it wasn't a real sale, at least according to this Medrash. They were playing around. And Rav Hirsch agrees with this assessment. Rav Hirsch writes the following. Kolosa mechira lo zichsas Yaakov b'shum adifus o yitarod. That sale did not confer upon Yaakov any benefits. Now, focus the opposite. Esav hayolasar v'gadol Esav turned out to be an officer, the leader. Bishashi Yaakov od hitana imatzomo. Yaakov was suffering with the sheep. Reisha b'chora lo isa krucha b'shum yitarod chomori. The rights of the firstborn was not tied to any kind of physical benefit. The only issue was in relationship to the spiritual leadership of the house. Additionally, based on the Gemara in Bava Basra, they're only 15 years old. And the sale was like kids playing, it's two 15-year-olds schmoozing, playing with, you know, the deal was not a real deal. It was playing with each other. And then he cites the mention in Bereishis Rab, Gam Bar Kapara, Kore Lohem Misach Hakim. He called them as kids who were playing. Ve'en Ladavar Eifo Al Schar Mecher. There's no business transaction, there's no sale. Ole Sikrit Tzadik Kosher. There's no serious business here at all. Esav Chozer Ra'av Leit Erev Ra'ev Esav returns hungry evening. B'shashi Yaakov Tarud B'achanasa Tavshil. While Yaakov is busy preparing the cooked food, Maher Teili Min Adomazeh, Esav says, quickly give me from the red food. Nafshti Mishtok Ketlo. My soul yearns for it. Kachomer, Esav, that's what Esav says. Yaakov No Sein Lo. Yaakov gives it to him and he says, just like you desire this red stuff, so I desire the rights of the firstborn. Every day you're just wandering around in the field. And I wonder to myself, what's going to be when our father dies? And Yaakov's tent will turn into a hut of trappers, of hunters. I want the rights of the firstborn, just like you want lentils. Yaakov is telling Esav, I want my father's tent to follow the footsteps of Avram, of being a tent of spirituality and holiness. My first continues, Nosif al kach, as a Masor Shehuva la'il kibo, bayom meis Avraham. Additionally, there's a tradition that Avram died on that day. Ulai Yaakov shol satzmo. Could be that Yaakov asked himself, Eicha yu p'nei advarim, ilu yishmo b'makom Yitzchak b'mali yosu b'makom Avram. He was thinking, what would have happened on Yishmael taking the place of Yitzchak instead of, to fill the place of Avram? Ulai, the history would be much different. Ulai yom harher b'libo, maybe he thought in his heart, Hinei sav ameis, behold, my grandfather is dead. Vanechad, the grandson, Shaosi Lamalis Makomo Haruchania Musari, who's going to supposed to fulfill his spiritual place. He's involved in fields, he's in trapping. Hine ki kain his nagusam shall shnei mivo eres. Behold, writes Rav Hirsch, that the behaviors of the two teenagers are clear. Kishem shehi af yafnatit. Af Yanit, just like it, their character. Just like their behavior was clear, so to their character. Uchederach she'az ham heim amdu zem mozeh, just as they stood one opposite the other. Ken Yaakov yamon mul Esav od meot bashanim. So to Yaakov stand opposite Esav for hundreds of years. Beratzon yimso Yaakov es rechusha chabri leEsav mit avelo. Yaakov will willingly give over his physical possessions to Esav, who desires it. If Esav would allow Yaakov to fulfill his spiritual and ethical role and responsibility. According to Rav Hirsch, there is no formal sale that takes place in the beginning of Parshas Toldos. There is simply an acknowledgement that Esav should not succeed Yitzchak, because Esav only cares about today. And maybe when Yaakov says to Esav, Michra Kayom, as Bechor Eschali, maybe Michra could mean abandon, not sale. And then the story in the beginning of Parshas Toldos becomes the story of two 15-year-old boys deciding what they want from life when they confront death. To Esav, death means we should indulge ourselves in today because we will die tomorrow. To Yaakov, death means we should ensure the future for our legacy and the legacy of our parents. This boyish, unenforceable transaction simply reflected two sets of values. And on the surface, it seems that one older brother is taking advantage of another brother. But by probing the story a bit, we conclude that it's really a story of how two brothers react to a crisis or a tragedy, to the death of their grandfather, and they arrive at different conclusions as to what is important, only today or the future, material needs or spiritual needs. And perhaps the Torah is telling us that we are often required to probe deeply into our own actions to truly determine our own values.